Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
It may have been the furthest thing from what he was thinking when our special guest today, John Caprani, ventured into copywriting. But he's come up with a fascinating specialty that's worth paying attention to, and that's local celebrity advertising. See, we all know what omnipresence is online. That's when your prospects see you everywhere and they become familiar with you in the same way they become familiar with the celebrity. John was working as a construction project manager in 2016 when his boss asked him to start selling projects too. It was a logical transition from there to starting his own copywriting business a couple years later. And he ran the gamut of direct response copywriting, niches like health, wealth, relationships, fairly familiar stuff to most of us. But last year, he found something he really liked, promoting U.S. home service businesses to become really well-known in their physical local communities with a method he calls local celebrity advertising. John's joining us today to tell us all about it, right after I tell you all about this. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So, John, welcome. It's good to see you and glad you're here.
Thanks so much, David. It's great to be here with you and Nathan, too. We've all three of us had a couple of different conversations recently, which has been really good.
That's true. I was on your podcast, which I enjoyed that conversation so much, and I understand Nathan's gotten in touch with you, too. So that's great. Just among friends, let's get right to it. How did you get into the idea of a local business celebrity advertising program?
So working in the construction industry, as you mentioned, is where I started out. And when I changed careers, I had that feeling like I want to do something totally new, and I sort of stayed away from that space. But last year, I had an opportunity to, I knew I needed to change because AI is making copywriting just as a standalone service, I think, less and less viable. And I wanted to learn some more skills. So I got into advertising, and I was not really so keen anymore on doing all the kind of very online only direct response stuff. And I knew I had a connection with that industry. I liked people, and I started to work with a couple of them, and I just started to get some good results and felt good about the work and just kept going with it. And I've just found over the last year that I've sort of let go of the last few remaining kind of more traditional, I suppose, direct response clients and focus more and more on home services. And the more I do, the better the results seem to be. And I just want to keep going with it because I really enjoy it.
Yeah, that's really good. So home services, a lot of that is directly related or somewhat related to construction, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I work with people like landscape gardeners. I work with people doing epoxy flooring. I work with people building barns. I work with people installing air conditioning. Just kind of real, run-of-the-mill, everyday stuff that we're all familiar with, and it doesn't really require a lot of explanation in the way that maybe some more abstract, very like coaching or business consulting or mentorship type offers do. So where I found a way to differentiate myself from what I've done is what I describe as local celebrity advertising, but it's just basically putting more personality, maybe some using some kind of more like guru marketing style methods and tactics for local business, for the local business marketer, and it works really effectively, as not many people are doing that in that space.
Yeah, so could you walk us through a case study or two? I mean, not just the numbers, but the kind of things people say to you and the kind of things their customers say to them. Give us a few examples.
Sure, I can give you a couple of like really good case studies that have come up for me recently. One of them was working with, and I still work with them, is a company in Colorado who are building custom barns, like for everything from places that people store their RV to nice fancy barns to keep their nice expensive horses in, or even those barn dominiums where they kind of turn it into a home. And they came to me and they were doing somewhere between $150,000 and $200,000 a month. And their advertising was quite generic, and most advertising in that space is quite generic, a lot of static text plus image type ads. And what we did is just very simple stuff. We just got the founder on camera. We just created some personality-based advertising. I had the good fortune that it's a woman founder, which is unusual for that space. So she stood out, and that was differentiated all by itself. But we just put it there, out there, the message about her values, what's different about working with her, what people can expect from working with her, and what's the kind of the gap she fills for people who are in her local market. And it's worked super well. And she added on almost $800,000 extra revenue in the past 60 days to her business, which was totally unexpected, and gave me a big surprise as well as her. That's been awesome.
I do have a question, or I don't know if this is a question or a thought. It seems to me that when you're doing this kind of thing, there needs to be a certain amount of personality that you need to project into the advertising. I mean, if you're going to make the person stand out as a local celebrity, they can't be a generic person saying the same things everyone else in their business says to them, right? So have you found that to be true? And is that easy to bring out? How does that all work?
So, yeah, there's a couple of issues there. I think the first one is that over the last 18 months as I've been doing local business advertising, what I found as a pattern was that some of the clients I worked with were happy to do video and get on camera and talk about their business, and they really believed in what they were doing and were passionate about it. And I got great results for those people. And some were more reluctant. They were a bit shyer. They didn't want to get on camera. They're like, oh, can't you just use some B-roll? Can't you just create a video for me? Or, you know, can't we just use some static images of the work and some copy? And those clients didn't really get great results. And guess which clients stuck around? So once I've realized this, I've just made it now what I call a hygiene standard in my business. If the business owner I'm speaking to is not willing to get on camera, speak with actual genuine enthusiasm about their business and be their own spokesperson, then I'm not going to work with them. So that's how I've solved that problem.
Okay. That's a pretty good qualifier. I like that. I know from personal experience that you're a terrific interviewer. You brought out aspects of me I don't think I've seen on the video before. So I got to think that you're part of the equation. They need to take the first step and say, yeah, I'll be on camera. But you also, I mean, do you have some tricks or techniques for loosening people up or getting them to reveal more of themselves?
I think I do, and I think that is a key part of why my ads have worked quite well, is that when I take on a new client, we typically do an onboarding call, which a lot of the way I onboard people is informed by learning how to interview people on my own podcast. So we do a very wide-ranging 90-minute conversation, which I record with on Zoom usually, and I don't have a preset list of questions that I'm going to run through, just like when I interview you the same. I have my notebook in front of me. I start with some basic questions, and every time they say something interesting, I just sort of follow that rabbit down the rabbit hole and ask more questions about that until I've exhausted that topic. And then I'm taking notes as I'm writing, and I find that those notes that are on the page tend to give me the inspiration for the next question. And by the time 90 minutes is up, I know a lot about that person, a lot about their business, a lot about their motivations. And then I take that transcript and then use that at the start of my writing process, which I use a lot of AI for as well. But that 90-minute transcript really is the kind of core of all the campaigns I do. And I found that process to work really well.
Yeah. And then after that onboarding call, you probably do one or more interviewing calls to create the actual videos, right? Or no?
The videos themselves, I go off after that onboarding call and I go and write. Typically now for a campaign, what I like to put together will be somewhere maybe 6 to 8 kind of core long form ads that might be 1 to 2 minutes long. And then typically maybe another 5 to 10 medium length, which are 30 to 60 seconds. And then maybe another 10 to 15 very short form, 10 to 15 second spots. And I put it all together, document it, and then I get the client to record it. Sometimes they like to work with a videographer, but I figured out a couple of basic workarounds that even if they don't have a videographer or any prior experience, that I can actually get them set up. So I set them up with a mini tripod to put on their desk, get them to use their laptop as a basic teleprompter, and then record on the desk. I get them to actually buy a little microphone just so they get decent audio quality. And then that's enough. And I tell them, here, read these scripts. Don't worry if you don't get them right. Just pause for 3 seconds, do it again, record them all, send me one big file full of all the videos, and I'll do the rest. And then I actually just go and edit them using an AI-powered app called Descript, which is brilliant. And
I use Descript very, like very a lot, simple. Yeah.
It's awesome. And it's very, very simple process. And the ads are kind of like, I guess, like the old-fashioned sort of local TV spots in a lot of ways. But once you've got that person front and center, I don't really bother to show their work because, you know, an air conditioning company, who cares about seeing an air conditioner? And, you know, it doesn't really matter. What people want to see in local services, I think, more than anything else is, do I trust this person to manage my money? Do I trust this person to come to my property and be a safe person around my family? And when you do these kinds of simple face-to-camera ads where it lets the personality of the business owner shine, I think you can actually address those concerns very, very effectively and simply without needing a high production cost or a lot of complex editing.
That's interesting. Do you have another example of someone besides the barn person?
Yeah, I worked with this month, and again, I'm still working with. They just started 2 weeks ago, and they are a brand new business, experienced entrepreneur, but launched a new business doing epoxy coating. So that's like those nice, highly polished floor finishes that you'll see in restaurants and shops and those kinds of things. And that people sometimes have at home to do things like display their cars in the garage. And he knew what he was doing, experienced guy, but this was a new business for him. He had no reviews, no testimonials, no case studies, nothing at all. He was a little bit like, is this really going to work? You know, I don't have any real proof yet that I can do this thing. It's like, yeah, it'll work. So we got him onboarded. We got his campaign started. And I did give him a little bit of encouragement to go out and work his local network first. The people already knew him. But we got the ads live. They started coming through. And between one thing and another, in the last like 3 weeks now, we've helped him generate over $52,000 in new business. So his business is up and running properly now.
That's awesome. That's a great thing. Let me ask you this. I'm sold on what you're doing, and I can tell, obviously, you're sold, your clients are sold. Did you try any other approaches for local marketing beforehand that didn't work?
I tried stuff that worked less well. When I was just getting started with advertising last year and didn't know much, I started out with some very basic stuff that you see for a lot of local businesses, which is, you know, the text and image, it focuses on the product for sale or an offer. And while that can work, you tend to get very mediocre results because it's just focusing on, hey, buy this thing, which they can pretty much get anywhere. And then I started to look around and see that a lot of the local business marketing space is like that. It's very cheap, low-cost advertising, but there's not much imagination. And there's no personality really either. And even for companies that are quite successful, they tend to take this approach and they just try to blast it, spend more money and generate leads and have often a phone sales team work those leads. And I just thought, this is okay, but this is not so great. And I can put more personality in what I'm doing here. I can make these people into visible personalities in their local marketplace. And because it's local businesses, typically they're targeting like somewhere like a 30 to 50 mile radius around their business location. So apart from the lead generation side, it's not very expensive just to run some like top of funnel awareness ads and really get a lot of impressions in the local area so they start to be seen. And that's why I'm talking about local celebrity a lot, because I get feedback like, oh, people say hello to me in the supermarket or strangers smile at me on the street after they've been advertising for a couple of months. And of course, a lot of local business owners feel unappreciated, so they like that. It's a bit of food for their ego, you know?
Yeah.
Ben Settle was one of the first people that I ever heard say this, and he said, entertainers make more than educators, and that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And celebrity status is the thing that allows you to charge a premium. And that's exactly what you're tapping into. It's what we tap into as well. So I love hearing all of this. And I just want to emphasize the point that you just made. Right now, when we're doing a very similar thing, slightly different approach, but very similar, we're getting video views for a fraction of a penny sometimes, and building local celebrity status and getting through plays past 15 seconds for a fraction of a penny. And so this is, especially for the top of funnel awareness campaigns, this is the most effective way to make yourself stand out. And I'm going to second the don't take on clients who won't get in front of the camera, because the ones who won't get in front of the camera, we've had the exact same results. They never do as well as the ones that actually are willing to show their face, show a little bit of their personality. So everything that you're saying right now is exactly what we're experiencing as well.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, Nathan. And yeah, it's so cheap just to be seen. And there's that, I don't know, it's one of those psychological phenomenons, the mere exposure phenomenon. You know, it's great to have that bottom of funnel lead generation advertising that generates a lead, and that the client gets a ding on their phone and they can say, oh, this person wants to talk to me today, and they can get on that call right away. But that's great for the short term. It's great for the now, for booking in new jobs. But that long-term effect of just being seen every single day on social media by lots of people around them, people assume that they're an authority and a leader in their space just from seeing them all the time. And I've got an interesting example of that, if it'd be okay to share.
Yeah, please do.
I'm Irish, as you can tell. And there's a guy in Ireland who's a local business celebrity, a guy who goes by the name Mattress Mick. Now, if you saw Mattress Mick, Dave, you would think Mattress Mick lives under a bridge eating baked beans out of a can. He looks like a tramp. But he is a national celebrity in Ireland. He sells a generic commodity product, mattress for beds, and it's not those fancy expensive mattresses, it's just the most basic of the basic, pile it high, sell them cheap. But he's put himself out there for years and years and years on social media and on radio and on billboard advertising. And he is known by every person in Ireland, despite looking looking just so ridiculous, like such a shambles of a man. But he is a very, very successful multimillionaire business person because he created a distinctive personality that stood out. It's not professional, it's not smooth, but he just broke the pattern, looked different, and put his personality out there, and everybody knows who he is.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking decades ago, but there in almost every market, there's a car dealer who in the US who has, you know, some kind of crazy trademark personality move or statement or act, and he might not even be the kind of guy you'd want to invite over for dinner, but you know him, and you figure, okay, you know what I'm saying? Probably Mattress Mick. You know, if he looks like a tramp, I don't think you'd want to invite him over for dinner either. But well, let me ask you this: you know, at the risk of training some of your competitors, what are some insider tips for video marketing that you could share with listeners?
Okay. And it's okay to train some competitors. In fact, I recently have been doing a training program helping some other people get started with this, because these spaces are not saturated. They're underserved. Everyone's chasing the online dollar, and there's lots of neglected local businesses that are happy to pay for some good quality help. So it doesn't matter at all about how to do the video advertising. I mean, generally, it's like, don't be too kind of aggressively copywritery. Don't be too direct response. You don't have to necessarily explain too much about what the person's doing or focus too much on the service or the product itself. And I'll give you an example. I work with an air conditioning company. They're actually based in the UK, and we've helped them in the last 3 months add an extra $50,000 in revenue to their business, which was a big bump for them, and they're very, very happy. And they actually at the point this month where they said, John, we need to cut our ad spend for a while because we've got over like 200 leads in the last 3 weeks, and we actually are way behind on just talking to people. So we just need to just chill out a little bit. We're getting stressed out here. I said, okay, no problem. But they're making money and they're happy. Everybody selling air conditioning is trying to sell some ugly looking white box on the wall. And we did a bunch of different ads for them, and lots of different things worked. But the two most popular ads were one where we talked about, you know, the perception in England that it's a cold country and that air conditioning is not really necessary, because English people think about like hot weather, they want to go on a vacation to Spain, which is the south of Europe where I am.
Right.
And so we actually addressed that head on. Hey, you go on holidays to Spain, it's hot, you need air conditioning, but you don't need it here in England. Well, actually you do, and here's why. And we talked about the security benefits, that on a hot night you can have your house cool down, you don't have to open the windows and leave an opening that burglars might get in. And we talked about how actually, hey, you know, you could use your air conditioning system to keep the house hot in the winter and cool in the summer. So we talked about these just sort of these secondary benefits that people might not be aware of. But the number one most popular one was the business owner taking his dog for a walk and saying his dog gets super hot. She's always panting and sweating after, not sweating, panting and hanging the tongue out after a walk. And dogs don't sweat like people do, so it's harder for the dog to cool down. And what does the dog do when she comes back in the house? She sits under the air conditioner, the air is blasting on her, and she cools down quick, and his dog is happy. That ad worked the best of all. People loved seeing the dog, and people love dogs. They like the idea of the dog being happy and comfortable in the hot weather.
You know, that's awesome. I really appreciate that. And, you know, especially with what you can do now with AIs like Veo 3 and in other video AIs, there's all kinds of creative stuff. I remember playing around with it. I had, you know, a spy in Cold War Berlin pulling my book out of a secret briefcase. And I was just playing around. I wasn't planning to use it. What impresses me about this is you're still following direct response principles, in my opinion. You're not doing the hard sell, and you're not doing the smash mouth stuff, but you're talking about their everyday lives. And these are the things that people relate to. You're talking about ordinary stuff. You're talking about, you know, you think you need to go to the south of Europe to get hot weather, but in fact, it's hot here right now. What are you doing about it? Well, we've got an air conditioner for you. I mean, that's such an ordinary conversation you'd have with somebody, right? And it's dramatized a little bit. It, you know, it treated in such a way to grab someone's attention quickly, but it's not this carnival approach that, you know, or this cinematic approach that so many people take. That I imagine you might have tried that at one point and you found it didn't work. I don't know, but I certainly understand what you're doing is working.
The reason I've taken this approach with video marketing is that I want to just remove friction from my clients. The harder it is, the more people get involved, like having to have, I'm not a very good editor, but I can do some basic stuff in the script. So I just work with what I've got. It's like, if I need to have effects and a very polished presentation, then I need to bring in a professional editor, and then I have to charge my client more money for that. If they need to go and hire a videographer in the local market, they need to take a day out from their schedule. They need to get that person to come to their office. They need to pay them separately. It's more expensive. It's more hassle. So I'm always just thinking about, how do I make it easier for them to work with me? How do I make it easier for them to do their part and make it very, very, very low friction? And as for the messaging being everyday stuff, that's exactly it. That's the old Robert Collier letter book principle of just stuff that people are talking about anyway. The more I can get into that everyday stuff that feels comfortable and normal and things you would have a chat with your friends about, the easier it slides on by, and people find, okay, yeah, they sort of nod their head in agreement.
Yeah, for people who haven't read that book, I think you're referring to his phrase, enter the conversation already going on in your prospect's mind, right?
Yes, just exactly that.
I'm going to add to what people are used to on social media, especially nowadays. They're used to unpolished, unedited video. They go there specifically for that. And so a lot of the content they're already consuming is stuff people just record on their cell phone, and they edit it in their TikTok app, and it might have some slight cuts, but it's not professional lighting. It's not professional mirrorless camera. It's just the camera on their front-facing part of their phone. And that's what they're used to seeing. That's what they are looking for. And the over-polished, very glossy advertisement style content usually gets scrolled right past, looking for that more authentic stuff. So I think what your approach is exactly what people are going to social media for. So that's why it's probably working so well.
Yeah. Before we get you to talk about your service and how people can contact you and so forth, I just want to bounce off of what Nathan was saying. I saw a movie on Prime Video. There are three movies by this title. This is a 2025 one. It's called Inheritance. It was shot entirely with an iPhone 13. Minimal crew, no sets, one camera that looked like this. I mean, yeah. And they did it, you know, they obviously were a master craftsman with that camera source, and, you know, had all kinds of stabilizers and tripods and stuff like that. But wow. So, yeah, I think that may be where the world is going, or at least part of the world. Well, tell us about your program and how people can contact you.
If people want to contact me, they can follow me on Facebook. I think you have the link to it in the show notes. But the easiest way will be to go to my website, firedigitalmarketing.com. And that there's a video on the page explaining a little bit about what I do. And you can click a link and book a call with me there.
That sounds pretty easy. FireDigitalMarketing.com. And we'll put that in the show notes. Yeah,
we'll make sure to have that linked in the show notes. So if you enjoyed this episode, you want to reach out to John personally, you can check out the show notes over at copywriterspodcast.com. John, thank you so much, man, for coming on and sharing all of your wisdom with our audience today. David, thank you for putting this together. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Stories are the most powerful way to get and hold a prospect's attention. Of course, you already know that. But the problem many of us have had is, even though stories are absolute magnets for getting attention, they don't do that much to advance the sale. That's because the way most of us have been taught to tell stories was not with persuasion in mind. I decided to change that. So I looked at what I had learned in studying story and writing copy for decades, as well as coaching all-star copywriters. What I had learned about stories that persuade, and I wrote a book. It's called The Persuasion Story Code. It tells you exactly how to create and use stories to move the sale forward. Lots of stories. I'm including examples of 25 different kinds with step-by-step guidelines for putting your own persuasion stories together. You can get The Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.